You have your Bible tonight. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, that's where we'll begin in just a moment. Good to have some visiting with us tonight. We appreciate your presence and hope that you'll study along with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Simpkins has suggested. And all things have been made ready tonight if you've never put on Christ in baptism, where you can be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. In the book of Acts, in the 17th chapter, I want to read one verse for the thought of our study, and that's in verse 26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. If you have your Bible tonight, and you mark in your Bible, would you please underscore the phrase, one blood? When you read through the book of Acts and the 17th chapter, you'll find where Paul gives a very short and simple sermon that every child could know its meaning. And though it may be simple, it supplies food for many thought and forms parts of speech that was delivered by the Apostle Paul as he's preaching to the philosophers in the city of Athens. Out of all the sermons delivered, I always enjoy this one. And I often go back and close my eyes and see the audience and this man as he's preaching unto them. These great philosophers who are known for their intellect are being preached to a simple gospel sermon. And you'll find that many receive that word and are baptized while others reject it. But at this time, I'm interested in the phrase that the Apostle Paul used when he talked about one blood. And the first thing for us to keep in our mind is this simple fact that is stated that God made all nations out of one blood. It matters not if they be black, white, red, or yellow, Jew, or Gentile. They are all of one blood. And this goes back, of course, to Adam and Eve as God created them in the beginning. In your Bible, in the book of Genesis and the first chapter, you'll find that when God is talking in verse 26, he said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." We are all made of one blood. And it's important that we get that fact down. And it's true that many people have misunderstood that. But if you go back and notice that God is quoting Moses in Matthew 19 in verse 5, Jesus goes back and quotes Moses from the book of Genesis, that both the Old and the New Testaments agree that all nations come from one blood. So that brings up something else. God created man. Man did not create God. And we need to understand that when God created man out of one blood. But that brings up second thing in our study that's very important. We all have one spiritual disease in common. Not only do we all have one blood, but we all have something in common that's diseased to us, and that is sin. Now, we need to come to an understanding that all men have sinned, but we're not born in sin. You and I did not inherit sin. There's no evil blood in our bodies, but that sin comes from a choice. I was so upset one time when someone was adopted, and someone came to me and you said to my family, said, "You know, you don't know what kind of blood's going through that body." Well, I'll tell you, my friend, there's only one blood. And it doesn't matter what kind of person they is. They may be predisposed to certain things just like we all are. But that does not mean that because their parents were evil, they will be evil. If you look in your Bible in the book of Ezekiel in the 18th chapter in verse 20, the Bible says the soul that sins dies. It's the son does not bear the iniquity of the father, nor the father bear the iniquity of the son. But each man will stand to account for his own action and his own sin. This one disease of sin is upon all races because Paul says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What's that mean? We have all decided to go contrary to God's will. We've all made a decision along the way to do our will instead of God's will. And thus far, we are seeing that all are of one blood, and we can all see that we have chosen somewhere to sin. But that brings us back to the third thought of our study. And it's true that all men are one blood, and yet there's only one blood that can save us. And that's not the blood of just anyone, that's the blood of Christ. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew and the 26th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 26th chapter, as Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper, look at what he says in verse 28. In verse 28, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, you know where else remission of sins is talked about? In Acts 2:38, when one is baptized in the name of Christ, it's for what? The remission of sins. Well, why is that? Because one is coming in contact with the blood of Christ. In the Ephesian letter and the first chapter, when the Apostle Paul was writing, he says in verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Then in the Revelation letter and the first chapter, you remember that the Apostle John writes at the latter part of verse 5, "To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." In 1 John 1:7, we talk about being cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now, we're not speaking about the blood in a literal sense. Not one drop of the blood saved the thief or anyone else that came in contact with it. Not even the one that put the sword into the side of the Lord. When we speak of the blood, we speak of the sacrifice of Christ. It was His death that saved man. Why would man want to turn to any other way than Christ for being saved? Look in your Bible in the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter, observe with me what the writer of God had to say in verse 26. In verse 26, he said, "For if we sin willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Now, what's he saying there? He's saying, if you willfully go back into the world and reject the cross, there's no other access to God. I used to think that he was saying, there no longer remains forgiveness of sins. That's not what he says. If you repent, you'll come back to the cross. What he's saying is, there is no other way but the cross. That through that sacrifice, sins can be forgiven. Look at what he said in Hebrews chapter 10. In the Old Testament, the blood of animals was a shadow or a picture of what was to be fulfilled in Christ. He said in verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not of the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, by which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, for the worshippers once purified would have no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sin every year. But Christ is the fulfillment of the picture." Remember what John said when he saw him, John the Immerser, in John 1:29? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." John the Baptist said, "This is the one." He's the fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament. But that brings up one other thought in the lesson's yours. There's one duty upon all blood, and that is upon all nations of men, and that is to obey God. In Mark 16:15, he says that we are to go and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew 28:18, he says we're to preach it to all nations that are made of that one blood. They have one duty, and that's to obey God. There's no one plan for the Jew and another plan for the Gentile, as we brought out in our Bible study this morning. All have the same plan. Have you ever thought, isn't that beautiful? The same gospel that Paul obeyed, he preached to Felix and Agrippa in Acts 24 and 26. He instructed them to obey the same thing. And today, all of the one blood have the same duty. We're to obey the God of heaven. We're to be baptized into the blood of His Son. And we're to obey the Father. And we're to obey the Son and the Spirit. And this duty is upon every one of us. But then, because of that, we're the spiritual family of one blood. There's only one blood-bought family. Look in Acts 20:28. And think about this as we bring our lesson to a close. There's only one blood-bought family. When the Apostle Paul was writing or speaking to the elders at Ephesus on the island of Miletus, look at what he said in verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, watch it, which He purchased with His own blood. He purchased the church with His blood. It belongs to Him. We are blood-bought people. And there's only one family. There's not one family for the Jew or for the rich or for the poor. All of us are of the same family. That's why Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, said that you ought to know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So tonight, I understand this much. I'm no better than anybody else because we're all created out of one blood. And secondly, I recognize that everybody who is of an accountable age and who's reached an age where they can make the difference between right and wrong and they have the faculties to decide right from wrong, we have made the choice to sin. And there's only one blood that can redeem us from that sin. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can be part of the blood-bought family. We can be His people. We are the people of God because of what Jesus did upon Calvary's cross. It's important to think about the one blood. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized into Christ, what you need to do is obey the Christ and be baptized into one blood, the blood of Jesus, and let Him take away every sin. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.